Yes, welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, your host, with Brad Oakes. Again, surprise, surprise.
Hello.
Now we're off to Lawn.
Beautiful Lawn.
With Jamone, who's not in the car because he's already down here with his family. I'd love to chat to Jamone, but...
You should do his accent, Dave. You're very good at accents.
Yeah. Do you ever notice?
Now do Jamone.
Bang.
Do you ever notice?
Yeah. Do you ever notice? Well, he's got a Northern Irish accent.
Yeah. Belfast accent.
Which is where they say that they don't open their mouths very much.
No.
I'm going to fucking kill you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Whereas Dublin and Cork, they open their mouths. I can't do it, but they do open their mouths more.
Yeah. I can do it, but I choose not to.
My kids have been watching, because my brother-in-law, Timmy, is Irish. He's from Cork, County Cork. And there's this thing of Pingu, you know, Pingu, the little, it's an Italian penguin cartoon. These Irish guys have voiced over, it's very funny, with Irish accents, like, what the fuck are you doing, Pingu? Oh my God, I got to get some popcorn in me pot. Like, and they have an episode where he cuts all this popcorn up, Pingu. Then he goes around selling it to people. Who the fuck is that? It's just myself. With some popcorn for you.
Jesus, you can't do accents.
I can't do accents, no. But, you know.
Yeah. You do a good Husey now.
Oh, it's, what's going on? I actually listen to Dave Thornton's Husey and do more of an imitation of Thorno's. Because Thorno's sort of like that back in your throat.
Yeah, his hits his teeth with his tongue, too. You know,
his tongue with his teeth like that.
Yeah.
They are, you know, the accents are hard to do.
They are indeed.
Voices are hard to do. Like, I was watching Hugh Laurie the other night. You know Hugh Laurie?
Yeah.
I love Hugh Laurie. He was, of course, House. But he was also from a great comedy duo, Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
I used to love Fry and Laurie.
Yeah.
You know, he's in this new show, which is very... I thought it was pretty funny.
Space show?
Yeah, Avenue 5.
Yeah.
Where he plays the captain. He's not really a captain. He's an actor, just employed to be a spokesperson. And he changes accents in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the millionaire owner goes, whoa, your accent just changed.
Okay.
You were like, he goes, are you Australian? He goes, no, I'm not Australian, I'm British. So when he talks to all the guests, he's American, and his American accent is so convincing.
Yeah.
Because I suppose he did that show House for so long.
You know, when you're talking about him playing a captain.
Yeah.
When I was working on a cruise ship, you had to watch this induction film. I said so many times, right? Anyway, one time I was...
Let me just say, there's nothing more boring than an induction.
Yeah.
Whether it's on a building site or at a casino, they're very boring, aren't they?
Yeah, well, right, so you've got that out.
All right, guys, I just wanted to put it on the record.
And one day I was going from... I was in Vanuatu and I was getting transferred to a ship with the safety officer for the company. And... We're just chatting in the car, and I said to him, that induction film is just the shittest induction film I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Now, I used to make them, you know, and I said, it's really, really bad. He goes, yeah, I know. And I said, so I was kind of encouraged, and I said, can I just say that guy, the ship's captain, is, you know, he shouldn't try and act. He should just be a ship's captain.
Yeah.
And he goes, he is an actor.
Oh, he's an actor.
And I said, you're kidding me. And I said, so did you tell him to act like a really shit actor doing it? Because, you know, you would think it was just somebody who couldn't act.
Yeah.
Trying to act. And he goes, no, he's an actor. We paid him and everything.
Well, you do look at, like, Bunnings and you go, they're not actors. They're just people from the staff.
Yeah. Well, that's why you can't get any help in Bunnings. Because they're all doing ads.
Bunnings Warehouse. Da-da-da.
Do they do lowest prices at just the beginning?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
My kids asked me that the other day, and I have to say I don't know. I had to say to them...
It's the Emperor's New Clothes, man. I don't know what it means.
Lowest prices are just the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I remember I did this gig for Home Hardware, I think, in...
Wantage?
No, Ballarat. These two brothers own a hardware store, and one of them had written introductions for all the people that were there... And he did a, so there was someone there from Bunnings. I don't know why, because that's like an opposition. But then he had a joke about Hardee's with the asbestos.
Oh yeah.
And he goes, I said, are you sure you want me to say this? They said something like Hardee's, you know, they give you asbestos poisoning. It's just something like, wasn't even a joke. It was like, he goes, yeah, get stuck into it, mate. And everyone, of course, when I said it, they all went, ooh. And I said, he said to say it. I pointed to the guy. I threw him under the bus.
Isn't it funny when, like, people want you to get stuck in? I did a gig for Jim's Fencing. You know,
not Jim's Mowing, but
yeah, Jim's Fencing, right? And it was at the shitty hotel at the airport, not the good one.
Oh, yeah, I've done a gig there.
Yeah, in a conference room. And there all these blokes in there, and I've just gone, they said, listen, before you start, go to town on Jim. We hate him.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, I'm just...
And so did you go to town on Jim?
Well, as much as I could, yeah.
You know, well, he's a very elusive character. You ever read about him?
Yeah.
How he gives a lot of money to genetic research. He believes in this weird theory about...
He's through some brethren, isn't he?
No, he's not brethren. He's got a lot of kids, and he drives the same Volvo he's had since the 80s.
Yeah, man. Like, he's one of those sects.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there was a big article from the Weekend Age about him.
Yeah. And he's had two wives, both from Southeast Asia.
Yeah, well.
With like 10 or 11 kids. Well, he's got a tie. Jim from Jim's Mowing. You can say that. He doesn't have a beard anymore, like the ad.
I know, but it's iconic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's got mowing, plumbing. I'm surprised he hasn't got comedians.
Oh, tagging and testing and tagging.
Yeah.
Cleaning, yeah. So cleaning, yeah. He's got a lot of different ones going on, old Jim.
Yeah. It must really shit you if you're in the business and your name's Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jim, you want to start up a mowing business? Well, you can't.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, we're off the lawn. We've got to get there, and Jamone's already there. And
hopefully the room's going to be configured
differently.
Differently.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. Because I just don't know. Publicans are very reluctant to, you know, change.
Yeah.
Even though we've got years of experience amongst us.
Yeah. Yeah. I experienced that recently in a country gig where I just said, can we just move these tables closer to the stage? Yeah, because it's like yelling across a river.
The comedy moat.
Yeah. And the guy said, I'm going to serve meals here. And I said, yeah, so what? Has it changed anything? No. I didn't say throw the chairs out the door.
And did they change it for you?
No. You serve some
meals.
What would I know?
Exactly.
What would I know?
Exactly.
31 years. Anyway. So, you know, but it's good in a way because it just made everybody else laugh. Because you know, I just went off grumbling.
Yeah.
like the old coot that I am. Yeah, muttering away.
The old coot?
Yes.
You know what that is? That's called a mixed oath. Have we talked about that before? We might have.
What?
Coot. Coot was invented as a word to say instead of the C word. It's like Jiminy.
Like heck and hell.
Yeah. That's like Jiminy Crickets for Jesus Christ or friggin' for fucking. They were invented turn of the century by publishers and stuff to put in books, not to offend anyone.
Yeah.
So when you say you old coot, you know what you're really saying.
Well, because a coot's a bird.
Yeah.
So it's a shag.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, that's what you do. You just say, do you fancy a shag? But you have to be holding the bird. Yeah. No, I meant that. Ha, ha, ha.
Hilarious. Warm Ponds. I've done a gig at Warm Ponds Hotel.
Oh, God. I've done a gig at Deakin University.
Ah, oh, Deakin.
All the Deakins.
I don't know if I've done Geelong Deakin.
Well, I've done Geelong in town, out of town, just out here. And I've done Deakin down the Bull.
Oh, yeah, I've done Warrnambool, yeah.
I've done, of course, Deakin, Burwood. You would have done that.
I've done that, yeah. I don't have any uni gigs anymore.
I was just about to say that, yeah. What happened to all the uni gigs?
Well, they were all student union funded, and the Liberals got rid of student unions. Thanks a lot. They pulled the ladder up because, I mean, a lot of them were student politicians in the student union, and then they, you know, they got their use out of it, and they just, and they weren't a union per se.
No.
They were an association
for
students to have a good time.
Yep.
Now uni's just boring. Well, apparently, I don't know. I don't go to uni, but I did once. And
you still go to schoolies, though, don't you?
I go to schoolies. I hand out red frogs and a high-vis vest, bro. Oh. All right, well,
Lawn is a schoolies destination.
Lawn is, yes. I've actually been here when I had small children. We came 1 week and went to schoolies. We didn't know, but because they kept different hours.
Yeah.
So we'd be up early with the kids and we'd go back inside at 6 or 7. And then you just lie in bed, then you hit about 1 a.m. when the pub would close. It was like an asylum was being released. It was like screaming and yelling. Then you get up in the morning and be vomiting on the vomit on the footpath.
And underpants.
Oh, tables upturned. Like, yeah. What's going on? Schoolies.
I'm upturning a table.
Oh, the train just went past.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. Keep listening. We will return from our lawn gig. You're back on the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill and Brad Oakes returning from our gig at Lawn Hotel with Jamone.
So it would have been earlier, but Dave was waiting for me to finish my pie.
Yeah, finishing your pie. And it was a great night. Had a big turnout. And
Jamone was insane.
Jamone, unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was there with his wife and friends, and she was even laughing. Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
They've been together a long time, as long as I've been with my partner, probably about 30 years. And
yeah,
she was laughing. But Jamone is very good. You watch him and he's like, he's been doing it for so long and he tours so much.
You and I were watching him, like, because Jamone and I started around about
started before me. Yeah.
We started around about, he started in Sydney and I started in Melbourne around about the same time. And I was watching him tonight, and you and I were watching and we were laughing and you know, I was clapping even. And I was thinking about it was like it's like when you're watching the Olympics, the gymnastics, and there's that girl that's really good.
No, oh, yeah.
And all the other gymnasts are just going, oh my god, that's really good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the time, you know, I'm watching comedians go, well, get off, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's like when you're played in a band.
Yeah, it was so good.
I remember we played in a band in the 80s and a guy from a few years above us formed a band. And we're all like, oh, whatever. He'd been in a few alternative sort of bands.
Oh, who was
went
it?
Went and saw him.
Who was
we're
it?
Like, oh, Boom Crash Opera. Oh, my God. Because they emerged, like some comedians emerge fully formed. Jamal would be like that.
Yeah, he was.
He was headlining within 6 months of starting.
He was. He is the
Boom Crash Opera, because they were all from other, they were from,
yeah.
To give you the full details, Peter, the guitarist, was from Serious Young Insects.
Right.
Be Patient was their single. Richard Pleasance, the bass player, was from Government Drums, I think they're called. Anyway, they were sort of in sort of alternative, but they decided, let's do a commercial band.
Yeah.
With fully formed.
With a 60s man live.
Yeah,
right.
Who was from a cover band, yeah. Right. And he's a good singer, good looking. Yeah, he had the Michael Hutchinsons about him, didn't he?
Yeah, top light too.
A great guy. And when we saw them, you just go, oh, they're a band. Oh. Because we'd heard they were rehearsing and stuff. And you know, I knew some of the sister of the Richard. Like, yeah, well, he's forming another band.
I say that Jamone was the person that got it the fastest that I've ever seen. Right?
Yes, yeah. He was on a fast track.
Yeah.
Because he was quite unique. Matt King was similar.
Matt King, yeah. Dan Casey.
Ronnie Chang.
Fiona O'Loughlin.
Who?
Fiona.
Oh, Fiona. Oh, she took a while. But because of her living situation, it took a while, didn't it?
But as soon as she got to a big town.
Yeah, true.
She just went bang. True. Like, and these are people who, so they it's like they turn up fully formed.
Well, Ronnie Chang was the same. Well, within 5 years, he was on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. So,
The first time I saw him, because I'd met him backstage so many times, and because I was often headlining, so I'd be on last, and I'd turn up, because at that stage I had very young children, so I'd always turn up late or, you know, right on time. And I'd always meet him backstage. I'd never seen him. And he was always so polite, Ronnie.
Very humble, wasn't
and,
he? Yeah.
How are you? How's your family? You know, how's your leg? They had a sore leg. And then when I saw him on stage, I was like, fucking hell. I was blown away.
But yeah, like, so coming back to that, Jamal, like, just got it straight away. You know, he really knew how to do it.
Yeah, and,
But it was lovely to see it because, like, to be honest, like, we've been doing it exactly the same amount of time. I'm tired of myself. But watching him was just a delight, you know. It's just, it's like watching a virtuoso, you know. Up there just spellbinding that room. Like, there's, you know, there's a really drunk guy and a really drunk girl leaning on the bar.
Yeah, I saw them. Yeah.
And they were...
Moved closer to the stage.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think anybody else would have picked them up, you know. They would have just been...
They would have been talking and stuff.
And nearly having sex. So that was great, you know. It's worth the 17-hour drive.
It's worth getting up at 1 in the morning.
Yeah. God, you got to put your jammies on too, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a big pyjama wearer.
I
know the first time I put them on, I was staying overnight with Vic Pluma, legendary comic.
Yep.
And he just laughed his head off and he goes, you're wearing a suit to go to bed.
Yeah.
My flannel pyjamas.
I don't wear them just because there's a very good chance that I'll sleep wherever I am.
Oh, right.
You know, I'll just be...
I don't know. I like pyjamas.
Yeah, fair enough.
I get cold. But I tell you, I saw this woman, this sleep expert, talk about pyjamas and you shouldn't be too hot or too cold in bed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think flannel pyjamas are too warm.
Well, perhaps we could invent, imagine smart pyjamas.
Oh, yes, it could cool your body down.
Yeah.
But that's a whole thing in America. They have pillows or things that cool the bed.
Yeah, but do they have smart pyjamas?
No.
They could just lift the doona off you.
It's a new invention, man.
Yeah, somebody out there do that, and remember, it was us.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, this is the thing you were saying, you had a movie idea.
Oh, yeah.
But you're never going to make it, so you just put it out there.
Yeah.
Because I was just reading Gary Shandling's book out at the moment.
Right.
That Judd Apatow has put together. I didn't know they were good friends, they worked together. It's a really amazing book if you're into Gary Shandling.
I love Gary.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Yeah.
I'll lend it to you. And he had a great idea of him, this was their movie idea they were going to do, of him going into a nursing home early and being the stud of the nursing home. Now, that's a funny movie idea.
Well, I had the idea to, you know, the, like,
let me just say, Gary Shandling had he did one movie which didn't go well. I don't think he ever did one again that he wrote and starred in. They had the director from The Graduate.
Oh, what a little bitch. Get over it. You know, like...
I know.
Although, hang on. How many movies did you write and do?
Whoa. Two?
Two.
I was in The Nugget. Three including.
Only Takeaway.
Takeaway I wrote with Mark O'Toole, and then You and Your Stupid Mate I wrote with Mark, and then I was in The Nugget. Three movies.
Oh, well, there you go, Gary Shandling. And Dave O'Neill had a fucking crack. Come on. Jesus Christ.
But see, he was so used to success with the Gary Shandling Show and the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
And he hosted Carson and the Emmys.
What a little bitch.
And really? Then he did this movie and just... That happens, though. Anyway, what's your movie idea?
Oh, can I just say that? The other idea I had was...
Yeah.
You know those, like, blowy men outside car yards?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Blowy. Yeah. I love them. That's in one of the... That's in Takeaway.
Okay, well... I had this idea to
I got Mr. Blowy and we still didn't get people in, I think.
I had this idea to have little, like...
Mr. Blowies.
8 centimetre ones on your desk.
Yeah, great idea.
Right? And they run off a...
USB
from your computer.
And what did I send you a photo of the other day?
Exactly. Yeah. I know. Because
I've told my kids, when I've driven past, I've said to them, you know Brad Oates?
Yeah.
He's got this idea of doing a little...
Yeah.
Mr. Blowies, because we call them Mr. Blowies.
Yeah.
And actually, the Axis of Awesome have done a song about it. Have you seen their song about them?
No, I haven't.
It was very funny about how they're feeling down and they see that Mr. Blowy. And anyway, the kids, we're in a bookshop and the kids say, Dad, Brad's ideas over here.
No. I know, when you said that about I nearly cried.
So I took a photo and sent it to you.
Right, because I thought, you know, I thought, God, this is exactly the same as when I thought of the internet. And then and a couple of years later, somebody did it. I went,
I had that idea.
Such a good idea.
But you know, the thing is, though, if you spent money creating a prototype and putting it out there, what happens with those ideas is that someone in China just copies it and makes it.
Oh, totally. You know, look, I know, I've had ideas for apps, right? You know, I'll tell you the idea I had for an app, right, was an app that tells you whether or not your idea for an app is any good.
The app app.
The app app, right? You know, he goes, nah, it's shit, mate. It's shit.
Or it's already been done. Often ideas have already been done, too.
Well, that's that thing. Like, you know, we were discussing earlier, off air, about how some comedians talk about the same things. But there's that very interesting thing called parallel development.
Oh, it happens. They reckon, what was I reading about the other day? In primitive, say bread was developed at the same time around the world. The Egyptians did it, the Chinese did it.
Yeah.
Without knowing that they were all doing it.
Bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reality TV. You know, they're not all good.
Well, I've worked on sketch shows and I've seen people hand in the same sketch. Yeah. Not knowing that both of them have written the same idea.
Well, see, that's happens. And that's one of the pitfalls of doing topical jobs.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's like... Yeah. You know, like when Steve Irwin was killed, like we all went crikey. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, when I went on, have you been paying attention? The one time I went on, very, very good, glorious.
Surely they'll get you back.
Surely. But as soon as they said, Princess Harry went to South Africa and met what famous citizen? I went, I got to buzz in and say Oscar Pistorius because that's I just knew. And of course, everyone said afterwards, I was going to say that. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Well.
Totally.
What other famous South African citizens are there that would get a laugh?
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
As ashes.
Yeah. Winnie Mandela. Anyway, go on. So your idea. Okay, there's movie executives putting down their, getting their pen ready.
I can't remember it.
No.
I know.
You can't remember your movie idea.
Yeah, or am I just being cagey? You know, because...
Okay, I'll tell you mine then.
All right, come on.
I've always loved gang movies like The Wanderers and The Warriors and Romper Stomper.
Hey, Warriors, come out to play.
Yes, that's one of them.
Yep.
The Ducky Boys.
Yep.
Peaky Blinders. Sopranos, like a gang. They're like a gang.
Yeah, Glee.
Glee. Someone should do a movie about Sharpies in the 70s.
Oh, totally.
A great gang film.
Oh, yeah, great. Totally.
Because it had a good look. They had good music.
Skyhook Sherbet.
They had good dancing.
Yep.
They're on the trains.
Yeah.
There's violence.
Yeah.
But the violence wasn't ever that bad. It was just like punching on. They didn't have guns or anything.
No, there was no stabbing.
There was no stab. It was more punching on.
Oh, yeah.
The worst thing, they'd rip off a picket fence and hit you on the head.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon a Sharpie movie would go off with our generation, Gen X and baby boomers.
Yeah.
And also younger crew would like it.
But yeah, because you remember the antithesis, the natural enemy of the Sharpie was
the surfies.
The surfie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, see, we're thinking alike.
Yeah, you know, and you know, with the long blonde hair.
And there's a whole generation of those young actors. I don't know any of who they are, but there's a whole lot of them that could be very good in those roles.
Totally. Yeah. Well, you know, and yeah, who? Because I was a pretend Sharpie.
Are you a pretend? Well, you're from Camberwell, really.
I was from Hawthorn, but yeah, I hung around the Camberwell.
Whereas most of Sharpies came from the outer suburbs, you'd have to say.
Well, the thing was that a lot of them, like there was the Broadmeadows Sharps, right? There was the Box Hill Sharps, and there was the Frankston Sharps, right?
Don't forget the Oakley Wogs.
Yeah, but
the Blackburn Sharps.
The aforementioned used to come to Camberwell to punch the shit out of us.
Yeah.
Because we were very good.
Fucking looking at.
Yeah. We were very
good. Remember Marshall Butters? I don't know if he was a friend of yours. He used to be a comedy promoter.
He's the guy who dared me to do stand-up comedy.
Yeah. So remember, I don't know if it was you told me the story, he told me the story. You're in Fitzroy and you got in a fight and the cops picked you up And they said, where are you from? And you said, Camberwell. And they said, what are you fucking Camberwell guys doing hanging around Fitzroy for? Go home.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, that wasn't you? No. Maybe he told me that story.
No, it must have been him. It was, he,
what band was he in? Dorian Gray.
And Microfilm.
Dorian Gray had one good song.
Yeah, but he was also in Microfilm as well. He, when he was promoting, because he promoted comedy for a long time. 6 years, yeah.
Longer than that.
Well, he went away to King Island.
Island?
Yeah, he went for a holiday, he came back. I went around to his place, we had a few drinks. He was living in Milsom Street in South Yarra, and it was a very hot night. I was living in the city in King Street, he got me a present. He got me
some cheese,
a camembert cheese. Remember, I used to do this on stage, right? He got me a camembert cheese
from King Island.
From King Island,
famous for their cheese.
Yeah. So anyway, we've had a few drinks, and then look, I've started to walk home at like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's one of those really hot summer's nights, you know, when it's still 30 degrees in the middle of the night. And I'm walking from South Yarra to the city, and a divvy van pulls up in Milsom Street, which is, you know, it's very salubrious area.
Yeah, South Yarra.
And then, you know, here's this bum walking down the street, and the sergeant, the big man, gets out of the car, and he's got a young policeman with him.
Trying to impress her.
Trying to impress her, and he goes, he walks over and he goes, who are you? I said, I'm no one, right? And he goes, all right, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going home. I've been visiting a friend. And he goes, okay, now, I'm going to search you, which they're not allowed to do, right?
No.
He said, I'm going to search you.
Am I going to find you, you think? No?
He said, I want you to spread eagle on the car. Before I search you, is there anything on your person that you need to tell me you have? And I said, I've got a camembert cheese in my pocket. Which sounds a bit like what a spy would say.
Yes.
To another spy.
Is that a code?
I have a camembert cheese in my pocket. Is it a tasty one? You know? And he's looked at me, like, because he's just lost all his authority straight away. And he goes, what? I said, yeah. And all I'm thinking is, geez, I hope no camembert cheese has gone missing.
Yeah.
Because if he's going, BKC, I found it. And he goes, what? And so I pulled the cheese out, and he goes, what do you do, mate? I said, I'm a stand-up comedian. And he went, oh, okay.
I think it was all
he
right.
Said, well, yeah, and he said, well, on your way. Right. Oh. And this must have been like 20 years ago or something like that. And but I remember, like, I wonder if that policewoman is still a copper now. Because I can remember the look on her face, like, it was very much like, is this always how it's going to be?
Yeah. It's kind of pulling people over for cheese.
How'd you get the cheese? Well, my mate flew to King Island, and just go.
Just fucking, it is funny. Do you still get, when the cops pull you over, or do you still get scared?
No, I'm not, sorry, can I just say, when I did it as a bit on stage, I used to say that the further punch was I got stopped by the cops again in the city, and they said, "Hey, here," and I said, "I've got a camembert cheese," and they went, "Oh, on your way."
Do you get intimidated by them still, the coppers?
No, I don't really. I just because I don't do anything wrong anymore. It's just,
well,
back in the day, I was just, you know, like, how many things was it done wrong?
Yeah, I was standing outside my house talking to Richard, my neighbour. He's about my age, and I just come back from a gig.
That's not the guy I hate, is it?
It's not my other neighbour that you don't like, who's come to gigs occasionally, and said to a comic who had basically died, "How do you cope with that?" The comic's like,
"He's a dickhead."
What? Yeah. What do you mean, cope with that? Well, you know, you didn't do that well.
What's your name? He means name's dickhead, isn't it?
You call him my charming friend.
Oh, yeah.
He lacks a bit of social etiquette, but anyway, no, my other Richard is more along the normal lines. I was talking to him about, it was about midnight, I'm talking to him on the street, and this cop comes around the corner in their divvy van, and just the guy pulls
dead end street.
Yeah. And he goes, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "Oh, we're just talking, we live here." He goes, what's your address? Give us your license. And then he shined the torch in it. Before we could get out, he shined the torch in for his faces, and he went, "Oh, sorry guys, didn't realise how old you were." And then he drove off. Then you realise how old you were.
Oh, yeah, well.
We could have been aging burglars from a British caper, crime caper movie.
Yeah, like.
Because it was a great story of an American. These American burglar who was like 84. He just got into every building. He would get the train to New York from somewhere, and he would just break in. He would just get past every doorman, they reckon.
Right.
Because he was like, oh, 80 kilometres, slow down. He's, yeah, anyway.
So, yeah, he's innocuous, yeah.
Yeah. People just don't notice.
Do you remember, I might have told this, you remember we did And Now I Have to Kill You with Glenn?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I told this story. It might have been in Perth about... Where I got beaten up by some bouncers in the old, what was that club in Russell Street?
Billboard.
Billboard, right. Me and a couple of mates, we got a hide. Well, two of us got a hiding, but the big guy, they just let him go. Anyway, we get outside. This is in the 80s. This is when I was a union organizer, right? And we get outside. My mate goes, I've lost my plate with his tooth on it.
Oh, no, yeah.
And
no.
I said, oh, I'll go back and get it, you know, because that, like, in the 80s,
expensive, yeah.
It cost, like, thousands of dollars or whatever, and he goes, don't worry about it. I said, no, I'll get it. So I went back in and got another flogging.
What?
Yeah, and then thrown out the door, like, heave-hoed out the door. But there's, like, 100 people lined up waiting to get into this place, right? And I'm just so indignant. And he's gone, my mates are gone, oh, we'll just go. And I've gone, no way, I'm ringing the police. And so I rang the cops, right? And D24, Russell Street Police Headquarters.
How far?
Was a block and a half up the road, all right? So I rang them from the public phone booth, right? And demanded they turn up. I'm pissed ass, right? And I've been beaten up. Anyway, twice. Anyway, the cops rock up, and this is, I swear this is one of the most embarrassing, this is worse than what I said to Nick Cave, right? The cops go, what seems to be the problem? And I've gone, and it was 15 minutes later, and I said, what happened? Couldn't you start the car? Right? And they've handcuffed me. And handcuffed me to the back of the divvy van. And I've turned around to 100 people, I've gone, they can't arrest me, because I rang them. And I wonder if any of those people are still alive.
Did they find the plate?
No. They went back in with their copper torches and everything like that. And but you know, and it's like guys I was hanging with were pretty tough dudes, right? You know, and yeah. I was not tough. And they were just like, no, you know, it's just a beating, just get over it. And I was just so indignant because it's one thing to get beaten up, but to lose property, you know?
Yeah. Lose your plate. All right, well, we should do the questions because we're almost home.
Yeah, sweet.
What went well tonight and why, Bradford?
Well, what went well was watching Jamal. You know, it was fabulous. Well, and yeah, I thought you started. You know, you were great. You know, and it was a joy to have a full room.
Yeah, what didn't go well?
Well, I think that's... Can we just say one speaker?
Well, that's the next question the organisational has. So there was one speaker, as Jermaine pointed out.
Yeah.
One light. One light. Which is my light.
Yeah. And
I think we needed another speaker.
I would put the stage somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. In the middle of the room, not the end of the room.
I find it difficult to engage. You know, and also that thing we discussed earlier just about just being, you know, like, being the support act.
Yeah, it's hard.
When, you know, really, like, maybe he's right. Maybe you don't need one.
Yeah. Just, but you just come and you do it. They need a support act.
But, you know, I was happy to do it. And, you know, they're always nice to us.
They're always great there. How can we do better next time?
Get another fucking speaker.
Yeah, get another speaker. And two speakers once, and then they lost one.
I don't know, the
owner of the publican said Chris was away. Now, I don't know who Chris is. I don't know what he's, if he took the speaker with him on holidays.
Yeah.
Maybe he's on the Gold Coast with the speaker.
Yeah, it's just,
he's gone away. Well, we have to go, but Oaksy and me are doing a show at the Grandview over the Comedy Festival for you in Melbourne.
Half a dozen shows with
on the weekends
guests.
With special guests. Last year we had Sealer and people like that and Husey and anyway, come down. It's a good night. It's a night. It's like a pub comedy night. So
yeah, we're gonna have at least two speakers.
Yeah, maybe even three. They got three there.
Wow. Yeah. And when we say three speakers, lights. We mean sound
PA,
equipment.
PA,
we don't
not,
mean, yeah,
not speakers. Talking. No, not. We got enough of those.
You come, and you're doing it.
I'm doing a solo great. Show called Generation XXL.
And
at the Basement Comedy.
I'm going through rubbish bins out the back of Coles.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Well, why not?
They throw some good stuff out.
Exactly, and we'll be good at something.
Keep listening to The Debrief. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.